Good morning, family. How are you guys doing? Let's give Joe a round of applause. That was the first time hosting. You can tell when the young people host, there's a lot of woohoo! Praise the name of the Lord. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Matt. I'm part of this family. My family and I have been coming to this church for the last, 6 to 7 years. I might have lost count now, but we are so privileged to be able to live our lives with a lot of you. To have some of our kids born here, raised here, all they know is this community, and we're thankful to God for that. And we love serving in this church, but more than that, we just love being in family and in relationship with everyone that is here. It's my privilege this morning to be sharing the Word of God. Byron, thank you for bringing your stuff, right? They brought you, praise the Lord. We've been going through a series, Worship is More Than a Song. And I don't know if some of you are my age group. We grew up in a time when you were forced to come to church. Like, we knew at our home that the car was leaving at 7:30. Whether you'd had cereal or you didn't have cereal, whether you had one sock on or not, you had to be in the car. And you better be smiling when we get to the church. My dad's rule was, if you sleep here and you eat on this table, you come to church. And church was a segment of things. The first part was that rush of, oh my gosh, I'm not ready. Why is this so early? You know, young people, you know, I wish it started later. And then you get to church. Then you get to church and then you see your friends. And the next segment was, wow, hey, buddy, do you have the new Sega Mega Drive game? Do you guys remember that? Oh, my parents just bought me a Nintendo, right? We didn't have PlayStations and things like that back then. And we swapped games and this and that, and that was the next part, and you're having fun. And then that gets abruptly cut. Get into the service. Oh, man. Get into the service, and we start off with the praise session. The praise session is amazing because it's fun. It's got energy. And back then, we used to like songs like All Things Are Possible. Do you guys remember that? All things are possible. Da-da-da-da. All things are possible. And that was fun, and we're young people, and we're engaged. And after a few of those songs, oh no, worship. One of the band leaders would give a cue to someone on the chords, and the music would slow down and mellow down. And all young people, we would sit. And then our parents would put their hands up and close their eyes. And they would start imagining and looking up. And we just looked at them and like, what are they looking at? What are they trying to see? And we'd look at our watches like, oh man, this is taking forever and ever and ever. Then eventually, thank God, worship ended. And then the word would come. Would go outside again, and then, hey, so can I borrow your game? Do you want to give me your game? And that was life. But worship was this uncomfortable little segment in the Christian life. A couple of years later, I gave my life to the Lord, and I started to walk with Jesus. And I started to learn that, indeed, worship is not just a segment of life. Worship is the entire Christian life. Everything about us being in relationship with Jesus is worship. So John Frame says, worship is not one segment of the Christian life among others. Worship is the entire thing. It's the entire thing. When we wake up, when we walk, when we greet people, when we give, when we serve, everything that we do is actually worship. William Temple puts it this way, and Pierre did a marvelous job of reading this quote, and I'll read the whole one. He says, worship is the submission of all of our nature to God. It is the quickening of our conscience by his holiness, the nourishment of mind with his truth, the purifying of imagination by his beauty, the opening of the heart to his love, the surrender of will to his purpose. It's everything. Our conscience, our bodies, our time, our money, our relationships, our home, everything we dedicate to God. And we say, Lord, everything that we have, we want to give it for your glory. We want to worship you. We want to thank you. So I learned as I was growing that we actually don't come to church to do a little segment of worship, sing one or two songs. We come to church because we are worshipers, because we are always worshiping. And this Sunday moment is an opportunity for us to corporately worship and exalt the name of Jesus. And so today I've been tasked to talk about serving, which is another way of worship. Because Pierre touched last week about giving, and giving might feel like something that's really practical, something that's, you know, physical, something that's mental, but there's a spiritual aspect to it. Same thing with serving. Serving might feel like, well, it's just something that I do with my time. It's something that I volunteer. It's something that I make space for. But more than it being just something we do physically, there's also a spiritual perspective to serving, especially when we do it worshipfully. When we serve with all of our hearts and we say we're doing this to glorify God. So we're going to be looking at text in the New Testament in the book of Acts. It's in chapter 6. I'll be reading from verse 1 to 7 in the English, in the ESV. I'll go. It goes, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, verse 8, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs amongst the people." So what's happening here? Jesus has ascended to heaven. Everyone is super excited because before he goes, he gives them this great commission. He says, "Go ye therefore into the world and make disciples of all men. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And guess what? I will be with you until the end of the age." The guys gather in Jerusalem, and you guys know the story of Pentecost. They're in the upper room, they're praying together, and then suddenly they hear this rushing wind and these tongues like fire. They come into the room, and all of a sudden they start to speak in tongues, and the church is birthed. And Peter has this amazing sermon, and 3,000 people give their lives to the Lord, and the church starts to go. And these disciples, they're so anointed and so excited and so filled with the Holy Spirit. They're walking around, and miracles are just happening. We hear about Peter walking by the beautiful gate and a beggar saying to him, "Hey, can you give me some money?" And he's like, "You know, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And people are walking, people are being healed, miracles are happening, and there's this excitement. The Bible says around this time that, you know, everyone was devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship and to prayer. And people were gathered and excited, and the community was growing. And the Bible actually said people were selling their houses, selling their stand, bringing their properties, giving to the apostles and saying, "Hey, distribute," as Aunt said, "distribute to those people who do not have. Let us share. Let's make sure that everyone has it." But the church was growing. The church was growing. Numbers were increasing. So from a church of 20, 50, 100, 3,000. Guess what happens? There are so many people now, so many people, that certain things start to happen. And one of the things that happens is, as the church is reaching out to the widows and to the orphans, as the church had been instructed, there were certain people who were neglected. There were certain widows who did not get their food, who did not get their parcels, because this was an administrative thing, something that needed to be done physically. Whilst the apostles were busy praying and hearing from God and reading the Bible and walking around and laying their hands on people, there was a gap where someone needed to serve. So the widows came and they said, we've got a complaint. There's an issue here. When the food is being distributed, we don't seem to be given food. So the apostle said, do you know what? There's an opportunity here for service. Do you know that every time that there is a mighty move of God, there is an opportunity for us to serve? Every single time that God is doing something amazing, there is an opportunity for us to serve. Throughout the whole scriptures, if you read the Bible with the lens of service, you'll see how God is constantly partnering with people serving when he's doing something amazing. In Genesis chapter 18, God comes and he wants to tell Abraham about his promise, and he wants to tell him that, hey, do you know what? You're going to be the father of nations. And he's sitting there under a tree, and Abraham, he sees at that time he's called Abraham, he sees these three men walk up. The first thing he does is he goes into the tent, he gets some flour, he calls his wife, he says, make some bread. He calls some young people, go kill a lamb, let's make a meal, let's talk to these guys. And he receives the promise of God. There was some service going on. You guys know the story of Jesus and the little boy who had the loaves of fish, the loaves of bread and the fish, and how, you know, Jesus prayed for it and multiplied. Do you know in that scripture it says the disciples carried baskets, picking up the bread, filling up those baskets, and they couldn't count them because there needed to be someone to pick up the crumbs, right? When you read throughout the scripture, even if it's Jesus going to his crucifixion, we know of Simon Syria who came and he picked up the cross. Paul writing and saying, do you know what? I want to thank people in this church who have served faithfully with me. You know, Philippa in the Bible, right? You know, there's so many people in the Bible who were serving. Every time there is a move of God, there is an opportunity for us to serve. And now as our church goes into the next season and we get into the next building in town, somebody said amen. Amen. There is going to be an opportunity to serve. There will be a taxi driver who's just parked his taxi on a Sunday morning. And I don't know if you've seen, the taxis are just parked on a Sunday morning because it's not busy. And he hears this music, do, 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 do. And he wonders, what's going on there? And he's going to walk into the church. There's going to be someone who is in Pora Grocery having his usual red latte, just sitting in there and seeing all these people walk in and just wonder, what's going on in there? And all these people are going to come in and we're going to need people to serve. People who are ready to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Now, I want to tell you my testimony of how I got into serving. I just given my life to the Lord, and I was so sold out for Jesus. I was like, Jesus, use me. I'm here. Ngilapha. I want to do this. Use me, Jesus. And I was ready. I was ready to change the world. And I remember sitting in the pews, and I said, Jesus, you know, the way that I can serve you and the way that I can be part of this ministry, I want to join the worship team. And in my head, I could see myself worshiping and with the mic and singing, and I could see people giving their lives to the Lord. I could see demons coming out, and I could see people falling under the power of the Spirit. And, you know, I was like, Lord, I want to do this, you know. And so I went to the worship leader, and I said, hey, you don't know me. My name is Matt. I'm a young guy. Just gave my life to the Lord, and I'd like to join the band. And they were like, wow, well done. We are always asking people to come into the band. I was like, yes, part one, right? And then the guy asked me, so what instrument do you play? And I was like, I don't really play any instrument. Then he's like, no, that's not a problem. We're also always looking for backup vocalists. And I was like, yes. So praise and worship session, come Tuesday night. And I went on Tuesday, went to the session. Great. Before we sing on Sunday, there was another one on Friday. Please come. Got there. Great. After the second worship session, the worship leader was like, Matt, can I see you afterwards? You know, I don't know how you guys feel like that. In my head, I was like, yes. Yes. In my head, I'm like, he's going to be like, Matt, you're so anointed. On Sunday, we want you to lead the whole thing. The whole thing. You know, you're now our new praise and worship leader. Because in my head, I can sing. But there's a problem. What happens in my head and what happens with my vocal cords, it's not exactly aligned. So the praise and worship leader was very mature Christian. He came and he put it this way. And this, Sergio, this is how you put it. He said to me, Matt, we just feel that in this season, God is calling you to serve elsewhere. That's a nice way to put it, right? And at first, I was heartbroken because I knew what he was saying, right? I knew what he was saying. But I sat there with him, and he could tell that I was a bit despondent. And he said, Matt, everything that we do in the body of Christ is service to him. And sometimes it looks like the person with the mic, that's the person who's serving. That's the person who's leading people to Christ. But you know what? Everything that we do, not only on a Sunday, is service to him. And that changed my perspective. And he said to me, do you know what? You look like a very friendly young man. One of the problems we have in our church right now is we have all these people who come in, visitors, people who give their lives to the Lord, but we don't have people who follow up. People who call them a week later, who will go to their house and visit them. Would you begin to do that? And I was like, yeah, you know, okay, let's do it. And back then, we didn't have cell phones, right? It was landlines. And, you know, I didn't have a car. It meant if I was going to see someone, it was either walking there, getting into a taxi. I was like, ah, man, let's do this. So skip many years later. I did this faithfully. I did this with all my heart. I was like, Lord, this is what you've called me to do. I just want to find somewhere where I can serve and play a part. In 2009, my wife and I came to Cape Town for the very first time. So this is years later, and we went to visit a very big church in the city because we were visiting that weekend. And as with most churches, after the service, they say, if you are new, won't you go to our welcome lounge? When you get to the welcome lounge, some of our leaders will come and meet with you. Right? So my wife and I, we go into this welcome lounge, and one of the leaders, the top leaders, comes into the service, into the welcome room, and then he's greeting people. Then he looks at me funny, and then he walks up to me and he says, I know you. And I'm like, this is my first time at this church. Then he's like, you're Matthew, right? And I'm like, yeah. Then he says, do you know that if you had not followed upon me many, many years ago, I would have never given my life to the Lord. Well, don't clap hands. I wanted to sing, guys. But at that moment, this guy is now a missionary, went to plant a church somewhere in the world. And for us, that was such an aha moment for us as a family. Sometimes you're doing these small things that you feel like, oh, no, I wasn't the person at the center. I wasn't the person who made the announcement. I wasn't the host. But everything that we are doing in the house of God, and when we serve even in our communities, is extending the kingdom. And we have no idea what those things will do in people's lives. So let's be co-partners with Christ as we serve in his kingdom. And sometimes where we get it wrong is that we expect the people who are holding the mic to do everything. With the church had grown and there's so many people, there's no way that Peter, you know, and Andrew and all these other disciples would have time to do the distribution. In the Old Testament, there's a similar story, actually, in Exodus chapter 18. God has just rescued the Israelites and has brought them out. And Moses is this hero. He's the one who's hearing from God. He's the one who went up the mountain. He's the one who came down with the law on the tablets of stone. He's the one who speaks to God as a man speaks to his friend. Like, he's the guy, right? And so he gets married, and his father-in-law called Jethro comes to visit them in the wilderness, right? And Moses is the one who everyone's issue, whether she was sitting in my seat, she said, I've got a bad hairstyle, whatever it is, Moses was the one who was judging everything. And so Jethro comes to visit his son-in-law. He gets there, and there's a queue of people. Everyone is waiting to speak to Moses. Verse 18 says, the next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning until evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening? Moses' father-in-law in verse 17 said, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Verse 21, select capable men from the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Basically, what he's saying is, you're just one person. You're just one eldership. You're just, you know, one group of deacons. There's no way we can reach the Helderberg and reach all the communities of the Helderberg if we think it's going to be Henry and Eugene, just the two of them. All of us need to say, look, where can I plug in? Where can I join? Where can I serve? Where can I participate? Where can I avail myself so that the kingdom of God can be extended? And we need to get past thinking that it's about the microphone. Everyone loves to hear their voice behind a microphone. It's not about what we are doing, but it's about why we are doing it. We're doing it so that the kingdom of God may extend, so that God may be given the glory. When we serve, people come to God. People realize how good God is, and he is magnified. So we shouldn't get caught up about being like Moses and sitting in that seat and having everyone come to me. I'm the one who makes the decision. I'm the one who knows better. I'm the one who knows right. We trust that every one of us has got a place to play. I also just want to point that it is not about what we are doing and, you know, why we are doing it, but I also want to say it's not about where you serve, but with whom you serve. It's quite interesting here that the apostles could have said, okay, you guys want us to distribute food. Can't we just hire an agency to do it? Right? I mean, I'm sure there's an app that can help us to distribute food. People can just sign up, put their addresses. Take a lot, Danny, will deliver, right, to everyone's address on time. They're like, no, everything we're doing has to be done by people who have a good reputation, people who've got, you know, a good character, people who are filled with wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. Because everything that we are doing is service, and everything needs to glorify God. And so they chose these people. They chose Stephen, and they chose Philip. They chose people who they knew had a heart for people. Same thing, I'm part of the media team now. And some of you know, that's the team where I serve. And when I started serving at the media team, we'll come in the morning when the worship team comes, and they come, I think, 6:15 or 7:00, depending on whatever time they come in, and the media team comes at the same time, 6:00 it is. I'm usually late, but I do make it here. And when the worship team is preparing, right, you're on the media team, and as the band is praying and listening to God and say, okay, we're going to sing this verse again, and then maybe we'll go to the bridge. We're sensing maybe we need to linger here a little bit. You know, the person on media is doing exactly that, you know, also prayerfully. They're saying, okay, this is what they're going to do, all right? And you're also praying, Lord, I pray that when I put the slides up, there will not be a distraction for people. I pray, Lord, when I put the scripture up, when the person is preaching, may these words not just be words on a template, but may they be living word that goes into people. And when they are singing, you're pressing those buttons, but you're doing it worshipfully as well. Because it's not about when and where, it's about with whom we are serving. We're serving and we're partnering with him. So we read about Stephen, and in verse 8 it says, Stephen was full of grace and of power, and he was doing great wonders and signs amongst the people. Think about it. The same guy who was distributing food, a verse later, he's now doing miracles. Stephen could have said, excuse me, apostles, I think you guys need to pick Matt, right? He's not full of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't speak in tongues and so forth. He can do this distribution of food stuff, right? Like, I should be with you guys on the front lines. We should be going into the communities and casting out demons. But Stephen was like, do you know what? Put my hand up. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to do whatever is needed at that time. I'm ready to carry the chairs. I'm ready to sweep. Way back in the day, I'm ready to clean the toilets. That might be needed in the new venue. I don't know if you guys think we're going to hire a cleaning service. I'm ready to mop the floors. I'm ready to clean the windows. I'm ready to serve. And because he had that servant leadership heart, a verse later, guess what? He's doing miracles. A lot of us want to go and do the miracles, but we don't want to serve. Philip, equally, if you read in Acts chapter 8, verse 35, you know the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. This guy is in a chariot, right? And there's horses going fast. He sees a dude running on his side. He's reading a scripture. Philip says, do you know what? I can explain that scripture to you. He jumps into the chariot. He tells him about Jesus. The guy says, oh, guess what? And I'm not going to read that scripture. You can read it yourself. He says, hey, I can see some water there. Can you baptize me? Philip is like, hold it. ABS, they stop the chariot. They get off, baptizes the guy. The guy says, thank you. And just like that, Philip vanishes, moved by God to the next place. But this same guy was the same guy a few verses before, distributing out parcels, getting in the Kellogg's Rice Krispies and making sure there's only one piece of soap in there and getting some cling wrap and wrapping it all together and carrying the parcel and putting it here, getting a register and say, okay, Van der Meris, please on this side. Okay, Peters, please on this side. Marconi's, please on this side. Doing distribution. And maybe someone was sitting in the crowd like, you know, we want to go out and preach. We want to go and lay hands. So this distribution stuff is not necessary, but serving is the key into the kingdom. It's the key into the kingdom. We are here, we are called to serve. Finally, my last point. It's not about being seen by people, but people seeing God. A lot of us come in and we're like, oh my gosh, we want to be the main character in the story. We want to be the person who they said, oh, that service was amazing. Sergio was great. You know, oh, you know, I love the way the band played. Oh, the guitarist, Shane. Oh, when Shane plays the guitar, oh my gosh. You know, oh, who's playing the guitar today? Claude. Oh my gosh, today's going to be bad. Today's going to be bad. You know, and it's because we want to be seen by people. But at the end of the day, it's not about people seeing us. John writes and says in John 3, verse 30, may I decrease that you may increase. We don't want people to see us. When we serve, we don't want people to see what we are doing. We don't want people to see where we distributed the food parcels. What we want people to see that Jesus is good, that Jesus loves them, that the cross is readily available to receive more people that they may give themselves to them. I'll close with a story in the Bible. The disciples are excited. These people are serving. This example of serving, give them a round of applause. Think about it this way. They've just come to Jerusalem. Everyone is excited because people are shouting out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. The disciples are thinking, this is the moment we've been waiting for, right? We're about to take over this thing. And then the father, the mother of James and John, they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, when you take over, my son, Jimmy boy, and my other son, we want them to come and sit at your side. We want them to be your right hand and left hand people. We want them to have important seats. We want to make sure that they have position. We want to make sure that people recognize them, that these guys, they were with Jesus from the beginning. They know everything about Jesus. Jesus says to them, you know, you guys don't know what you're asking me to do. But in any case, the princes of the Gentiles, they lord their authority over people. They give people tasks to do. They command people. They are bosses over people, but not so in this kingdom. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He says, in this kingdom that we live in, a lot of us come with serve me mentality. I want you to do things for me. I want the church to visit me. I want the elder to call me. I want them to mention me. It was our 10th anniversary. No one mentioned it. It was my daughter's birthday. No one came. When they called people and appreciated people who served, they didn't mention me. Because we come in, we think we want to be served. We want to be recognized. We want to be given important seats. We want an opportunity to preach. We want an opportunity to sit at that table. And we're fighting all the time. These are siblings, they do this all the time. So you can tell it's very natural. Very natural. But eventually what happens to these guys is they fall in love with Jesus. They come to the cross And they hear the words of Jesus saying, I came not to be served. I came to serve. And they hear Paul writing saying, if you want to be like us, have the same mind that was like the mind of Jesus, who being in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped on, but he made himself nothing. He took off the serve me. And he was like, I don't want to sit on that seat anymore. He took the very form of a servant. Yeah, you sit there. No, you sit there. You sit there. I'll serve you. They don't do this at home, by the way. We had to rehearse very hard to get this to come out. But eventually, they take off their serve me's. They realize in this kingdom, we're not here to serve. We are here to serve others. And so they get busy. They start looking for things to do. They start looking for people to serve. And they start to serve them. And they call them. And they invite them into this kingdom. And when the people come into the kingdom, they want to be served. They want to be appreciated. They want to be recognized. But they also come into relationship with God. And they realize, wait a minute. The model that Christ is giving us is not to be bosses. It's not to be important. It's to serve people. To take time to dedicate ourselves. To make sure that we give of ourselves to make other people better. And I don't know whether you have an opportunity to be part of a team here in the congregation. Whether you have an opportunity to be even in your community where you stay. There's a body corporate that needs volunteers. There's a school's trustees board that needs people to join. I want to say, Lord, I want to go and serve. It's not for riches. It's not for recognition. It's not so that people see me. It's because when I do all of this, people see Jesus. The body of Christ is glorified. So all these guys realize that we need to serve. And so they also go and they look for people and they bring them in. And people will still come in thinking we need to be served. And young Ruan here will also come and fight for this seat because he also wants to be served. But this is exactly how it happens. As we get to know Jesus, as we get to love him, as we get to realize that serving him is actually part of our worship. It's part of us saying, Lord, you be magnified. You be glorified. You be exalted. May people see you. Even though I'm just carrying a table, even though I'm just sweeping a floor, even though I'm just leading a discipleship group, even though I'm just doing a Bible study, even though I'm helping with setup, everything that I'm doing, even if in your community, all I'm doing is just fixing a fence that was broken down. Even if I'm just going into that trustees meeting at a school and saying, hey, why are we no longer singing Christian songs anymore? Whatever we are doing, we are serving him. And that is part of our worship. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you because you gave us a great example of service. The fact that you left your throne in heaven. You took the nature of a servant. You made yourself nothing. And Father, you came and you served us. You served us so much that you were even willing to go and die on a cross and give your life as a ransom for many. Thank you, Lord, for such an amazing example. We pray, Lord, that this morning in our families, we can go back home and we can ask the tough questions. Where can I serve? Where in the church can I serve? Where in the community can I serve? Where in my family can I serve? And Lord, I know there are so many excuses that we can have. I'm studying. I've just had a baby. I've just gotten married. I've just gotten a new job. We've just moved to a new community. But thank you, Lord, that your call is greater than our excuses. Thank you, Lord, that your passion is burning within us. And we are seeing that everything that we do is worship unto you. that we just don't sing songs, Lord, but everything that we hold. Colossians 2 says, you know, whatever we do with our hands, do so unto the Lord and not unto men. So whatever we do with our hands, the jobs that we have, the places that we go to, the offices that we sit in, Father, all those are opportunities for us to serve. So Father, in this next season, I'm praying that you would speak to our hearts, you'd speak to our minds, you'd help us decide where we can play our part in serving your kingdom. And God's people said, amen. Thank you.